Leaves that were green will turn different hues. Flip-flops exchanged for more significant shoes. For many, autumn is nature's best. It's here, and so is Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross, and this week on the program that features the people and places immersed in the culture of Western Wisconsin, you'll meet the five young members of Backtrack, an exceptional a cappella vocal ensemble making their way across America. They'll be stopping in Chippewa Falls next Saturday. Jim Oliver talks with Keith Lorash, director of Fun Home, a production of the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild, opening in a week at the Pablo Center. We'll greet Kim Chambers, a cast member of the Looney Lutherans, playing Saturday night at the Mabel Tainter. And our first guests arrive right after I remind you that WPR is in the middle of its fall membership drive. It's your support that makes our program and all others possible. Soon as you can, please tender whatever you can afford online at WPR.org or on the phone at 888-202-2552. Thank you. The Many Fires Art Fair is a familiar stop this time of year. Over the years, it's taken on a personality all its own. It happens when Sally and Mel Sunby open Many Fires Farm to people from all over this valley and beyond to partake in a day of browsing exquisite artwork, watching and listening to dance and live music, and sampling cuisine designed for the occasion. I motored to the farm east of Eau Claire and north of Fall Creek, sat on their naturally shaded patio, and began a conversation with a refresher of who these generous hosts are artistically.
Well, I'm originally from Minnesota, but I've been out here for 26 years here at the farm. It's been a wonderful life. You know, and Sal and I love the place, and we'd like to share it with people. With these workshops and the festivals that we've been having here, and it fits really nice into kind of a extraneous aspect of the arts around the valley. So many of the artists that we have become friends with and know quite well love to come out here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sally really does a good job of promoting it, and of course when ECRAC was involved, they were very much involved in that as well, and so a lot of people knew about it.
We should introduce your dog since we're going to hear her in the background, which is okay. I like that ambiance. What's the dog's name?
Greta.
Greta. Okay.
She is our life.
Okay, good. Sally, your involvement in the arts.
My involvement in the arts actually is kind of winding down since ECRAC is closing. I will no longer be involved much with anything that's going on at the Pablo, which is fine because I'm going to start a new life and kind of work with David Caradori in his shop, and maybe Joelle M. Burke if she needs help at 200 Main.
And me.
And you. Well, you always need help.
While on the topic of history, your history out here on Many Fires Farm, artists are kind of like country mouse, city mouse. Remember that book? People find inspiration in different places. You guys like wider open spaces. Has it always been that way for you?
I actually grew up in a suburb of Milwaukee. I knew early on that the only thing that separated our homes, and it was a beautiful neighborhood, was a driveway. So I could hear our neighbors talking, and I decided very early on I did not want to live my adult life like that. So when I came up here to go to college, I spent like half a semester in the dorms, and then I moved off and I moved into the country. I've lived here, it'll be 41 years, but I lived in another place out in the country before I moved here.
We'll have specifics of the 2018 version of the Many Fires Art Fair coming up. But first, our final history lesson, the history of the art fair itself.
Well, we were always part of the Falling Leaves Art Tour, and that's now going to be on the same weekend that we are on again. So they've moved theirs back so that we can kind of promote each other. And they would only let us have like a couple artists here, and we decided we really had a place that screamed for a little bit more. So we decided to have our own festival instead and try to have many artists in one location so you don't have to drive all over, especially back when we started doing this. Gas was like $4 a gallon or going up to $5. And driving all around, we thought maybe that would put some pressure on people's pocketbooks, and so they could come to one place and have, you know, 14, 15 artists. So that's kind of how it evolved.
So now that it's not, or you're not, involved with ECRAC, is there an association of some kind to which funds go, or are you just going to be greedy and pocket it all?
We're not being greedy and pocket. This last time, ECRAC is supporting this, the musicians and that kind of stuff. In the future, I don't know what holds. We don't have the support for this festival in the new venue, so we may do it, or we may go back to Falling Leaves as well and see what we can negotiate with them. So that's kind of, we're kind of in limbo. So this may be the very last Many Fires, or it may be a different kind of Many Fires next year.
Excellent reason to show up this year, the fact that it could be.
It could be.
Could be the final. Mel and Sally Sun be with us here on Spectrum West. The Many Fires Art Fair is October 6th. It's from 10 to 4. Now, let me ask about Q. It's kind of a pain in the butt to get from Eau Claire to...
It is open.
You get on the North Crossing and straight on till daylight.
Good deal. So that's just in time. You had some pull with that, with the guys? This has to be done by the 6th of October, you said? All right, so now let's engage in some name-dropping. Let's talk about this version. I'll let you, Mel, name a few people who are coming, and Sally, you can jump in with some postscripts.
You know, most of the people who are here have become friends, and some of them have had other venues this year, from last year or the year before. We have a number of friends coming from Iowa, and Denny Vance, who was one of the judges of the Confluence a couple of years ago, and Dave Blythe, who was from Chanhassen area, plus the folks in the area. Pat Hamm is going to be here. Dave Caradori, for sure. And, of course, David is very well known in the Valley and one of premier potter. Go ahead, Sal.
I thought this was going to be interesting to have him answer these names. Jean Young, who is a stained glass artist and just spectacular, and her stuff flies off the shelves. Christy Scoobin, who does wonderful, kind of eclectic jewelry plus felted hats and sculpture. Eric Holy will be here. He's another potter, just sensational. Lori Chilifone will be here. Pat Hamm, you mentioned. Hope Green, just a premier photographer. Barb Gertnick, who does weaving on looms. So we have some really upright artists.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just artists who show up. This location and this event is well known for its amenities. I mean, you have good food, and you have...
We've got the big weenie truck here this year.
Get out of town.
Get out of town. We got the big weenie truck. Joel has just been awesome to work with. We have Chippewa Valley Jazz Orchestra and the Ute Club coming, and we got the Torch Sisters performing, and we got all the usual people coming to make a beautiful day. And so far, the weather looks like it's going to be great.
Yeah, this is the big weenie truck that was at the Blues Festivals on Tuesday night. Okay, good, yeah. And even if you come out here and you're not hungry, I found that it's actually kind of cool to have your picture taken in front of the big weenie truck.
Yeah.
Which I did.
Yeah. True.
So this is free and open to the public.
That's correct.
Plenty of parking.
Yep.
80 acres of parking, so, you know.
Oh, wow.
Up behind the place here, and it's easy to get to. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, there'll be signs directing people. A lot of the people that come here know how to get here, and especially now that the detour is gone, it's a straight shot once again. So it'll be fun.
And from here on out, given the Falling Leaves a plug, they'll be seeing signs all the way to Augusta and Fairchild.
Right.
So if they want to...
And they're a two-day event, so people can't make it on Saturday. They can make Falling Leaves on Sunday, you know, because ours is only a one-day event.
Well, have fun, and thanks for hosting this again. And
thank you.
I can't wait to find out if it's the last one or not. When are you going to know that? Are you going to know that in the middle of the year? Or
probably.
I suppose if we get some sort of a sponsor, you know, it would be nice if we could get a sponsor, you know, for a lot of reasons. Last year, people could have a beer if they wanted to. This year, that's not going to be possible because ECRAC is no longer part of the situation.
Well, there's no liquor license available.
No liquor license.
It'll be sodas and waters on Saturday.
Will there be a sign that says no carry-ins?
No, there will not be a sign.
Good.
We may have a clubhouse in the barn someplace.
Yeah.
Okay. A cooler.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Al.
The Many Fires Art Fair is Saturday, October 6th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Watch for the signs on Highway Q, otherwise known as Olson Drive. And we'll have more details on the Falling Leaves Art Tour on next week's program. Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. And support for WPR comes from the Minnesota Marine Art Museum in Winona with Annie Haney Waterlines, featuring textured abstract paintings by the Minnesota-born visual artist, on view now. More at mmam.org. Support also comes from Chan Hassen Dinner Theaters, performing Disney's new Broadway musical Newsies, presented by Star Tribune, high energy song and dance celebration. More information available at chanhassendt.com. Support also comes from Simply Done in Downsville, a place for gifts, ideas, and space for events. Home of Dunn County Pottery, featuring wood-fired pottery and fair trade gifts. More at simply-dunn.com. Well, you probably heard of Church Basement Ladies. That's a classic. From classics come byproducts. The Looney Lutherans is just such a subsidiary. Saturday evening, the Mabel Tainter Theater in Menominee gets invaded by the Loonies. Here's just a little bit of what they do. Yes, it stars three ladies, Ginger, Bella, and Lois, played by a team of professional actresses who come together in a fun, interactive, family-friendly show. The idea for the Looney Lutherans was cooked up in 2006 when the founding members were appearing in the cast of the hit musical Church Basement Ladies at the Plymouth Playhouse in Plymouth, Minnesota. Kim Chambers is one of those professionals, so we called her, and she was driving on a Twin Cities freeway. Well, I want to define the show that you're in and the company who performs it. First, the show revolves around three ladies, Ginger, Bella, and Lois. What are their claims to fame?
Well, Lois is really the kind of leader of the three of us. She actually came up with this idea to create this cookbook and share the Lutheran knowledge. And she is really good at beauty tips. So she shares a lot of beauty tips and ideas about way to live a Lutheran way and using items from your very own home. You too can be a sexy Lutheran. And Ginger is really known for her love of food. She's was the creator of the Food Wheel, the Lutheran Food Circle, which revolves around all things leading to hot dish.
Uh-huh.
And then Bella is actually Italian by birth and Lutheran by marriage. So she is our resident fitness guru. So she shows you tips on how to use items from your very own home to have a healthy body.
Ah,
we all have our feature.
They all sound like they're happy and content and centered. There's no conflict or anything going on?
Oh, gosh, no. Never conflicts among Lutherans. We just don't talk about them, right?
I know Lutherans, and so maybe they're just holding back with me. They haven't told me much.
Well, you can always convert to being a Lutheran if you want.
Really?
We take pretty much anybody.
Do they allow? Well, that's good to know in my case. I've been around the block a few times, yeah. So now this show is kind of musical in nature, and it's also interactive. Talk to me about the interaction.
Well, the three of us, of course, can't entertain just on our own and keep up with everybody else. So we like to include the audience since we're performance. They come and join us in our show in different ways, sometimes through exercise, sometimes through question answer, sometimes through game shows. I mean, how they get incorporated in is really up to a variety of circumstances that lead up to them getting onto the stage and working with us. Generally, we don't have a problem getting people to play along with us. So it's super fun.
Uh-huh.
As far as the singing goes, we sing lots of familiar songs that you probably are familiar with the melodies of, but we, of course, alternate the lyrics to make them fitting for what we're trying to share. So, for example, Donna Summer's medley, we use the melodies from Donna Summer's songs. We talk about dealing with with menopause, different issues that, you know, we Lutherans deal with, and all women. And then we have one's Hot Dish for Husbands, which is the Donna Summers medley about Hot Dish for helping our husbands have a happier life. So, yeah.
Are there any prerequisites for people selected to come from the audience? Do you quiz them about being Lutheran, or what happens?
Generally, what we end up doing is they're called voluntolds. So we basically ask for volunteers, but then if somebody doesn't volunteer, we will volunteer them for them.
Oh, sure.
Well, so we call them voluntolds.
Sure.
But there's no prerequisites, and everything is really easy and explained out, like anybody could do it.
Mm-hmm. I suppose if men come on stage, you probably have a lot of fun with them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Ah, good.
And they have a lot of fun, too, because, you know, here they think they're watching a show for women, and it's really for men.
Sure.
We get kids up there.
You get kids up there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
They're the leaders of tomorrow.
Yes, they are. And the loonies of tomorrow.
They are. The loonies in training.
Good for them. Now, there are 8 total actors involved, I saw on the website. So how do you guys rotate? And that's kind of a personal question there. But how do you rotate? And do you all specialize in one character? Or do you try them all on for size at certain points?
That's a very good question. So they're originally 3 company members. The 3 originals who created the concept ideas together, Dorian, Robbie, and Greta, are the original 3. Going into its 13th year, we just didn't realize how popular Looney Lutherans would become. And so where there is a need, we try to fill it. And sometimes that meant adding in another Looney so that those roles can be filled to perform all over. And so I believe I was the 7th Looney added in, and we now have a 8th Looney. We hope that there's always a combination of 3 available for all productions that we get asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the original 3 pretty much just play the Bella, Ginger, and Lois role.
Sure.
And then the rest of us sort of play whatever role we're asked to play.
Okay.
I will play Lois. I'll play Ginger. In Menominee, I'll be playing Ginger.
All right.
Yeah. Jen, who will also be there, has played all 3 roles. Anne, who is the newest company member, she'll be playing Bella at this performance.
Mm-hmm.
We all kind of just make it happen.
We're on the phone with Kim Chambers, and she is one of the Looney Lutherans. They're coming to Wisconsin. Specifically, it is 7:30 p.m. Saturday. That's at the beautiful Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee. Remember, all roads lead to Hot Dish, ladies and gentlemen. You, Kim, personally have extensive professional acting experience, so you're probably kind of seriously confident when auditioning for things. Tell me what being a loony adds to Kim Chambers' locker of resources that make her a better overall actor.
Oh, that's a super fun question. So most of the theater that I had done up until the Lutherans is considered commercial theater, so big Broadway tours, good regional theaters producing main stage productions, and the Looney Lutherans is really sketch comedy and interactive, and I had not had a bunch of experience doing that type of theater up until the Loonies, and so for me, it allows me to have a lot more fun and flexibility and a lot more play involved because you never know what our audience interactions are going to be. So the audience tailors how we tell our stories and how we shape our show. So unlike the touring shows, they're sort of set. The audience comes in, but they're not participatory in the same way that they are with the Looney Lutherans. Yeah.
No, knowing each other as you do these shows, you've done them often enough. Is there ever any improvisation on stage? Do you ever run with something?
Every show. Yeah, every show there's something that ends up happening that takes us in a direction. And the fun part is we're all such flexible actors together that we have an ability to maintain our structure of the show, but also be free to kind of let it go where it goes, have fun with it, and we don't want to ignore any comedy that the audience brings in.
Right. Does the show ever change, evolve? Are we going to be able to follow these ladies as they age and life continues to take its toll on them?
Yes, actually, the show that we'll be doing in Menominee is called Living La Vida Lutheran. So we were there a few years ago at the Looney Lutheran sharing our cookbook, Use Your Food, A Guide to Healthy Living Inside and Out from Our Kitchen to Yours. And this show is bringing what we like to call the six double HP, or the six happy heart petals. And each of them are sharing different ways that sometimes get in the way of us having a happy heart. So we share tips and ways that we can have a happy, healthy heart so that we can all live La Vida Lutheran. Taking off the Ricky Martin song, Living La Vida Loca.
Sure, yeah.
We sing a little theme song called Living La Vida Lutheran.
Cool.
So, yeah, we evolve all the time because people ask us questions, and, of course, that inspires new ideas that we want to share and trace.
Ah. Oh, there's your, you must be turning. I heard your directional signal there.
Yes. Yeah,
good.
I'm directing myself to a Caribou Coffee for a coffee.
Good for you. You deserve that. I was going to ask if we're going to leave the theater whistling any catchy tunes. You've already sort of alluded to the things that we will. We will be confused because they'll have new lyrics, but oh well. Speaking of leaving the theater, Kim, how are we going to be better human beings, or what will we have a new appreciation for after meeting Ginger, Bella, and Lois?
Well, I think laughter is really the key to a happy life, and I think that if you get a chance to laugh with people, laugh at yourself, laugh around hearing other people's laughter, you just have a good time. I mean, who doesn't like to laugh? And I think if you can go to the theater and experience that joy with yourself and with others, you're going to leave feeling happy.
Sure.
And that's our real goal, is to make sure that everybody leaves having a good time, and they feel, you know, are they changed in different ways? Well, that really depends if they use our beauty tips or if they use our Lutheran ways. But mostly our entertainment is to just have a good time and to laugh and enjoy life together.
Well, this is all about being Lutheran, as you can tell by the title, but I know...
You don't have to be Lutheran.
Lutheran is in the theme, I guess is what I'm getting at. However, I noticed that the last names of all these ladies would lead me to believe that there's a little bit of Norwegian stuff interjected here, some lutefisk or something.
Yes, one of Ginger's recycling tips has to do with some lutefisk. So if you're curious about how she recycles her lutefisk, then you should come see the show.
I'm sure a lot of people are going to come see the show at the Mabel Tainter. Kim Chambers, thanks.
Thank you. It was great to talk to you. I look forward to seeing you.
The Looney Lutherans playing the Mabel Tainter in Menominee Saturday evening, 7:30. Tickets at MabelTainter.org. 235-0001 is the box office phone number, or I'm sure you can get them at the door. This is Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're smack dab in the middle of our fall membership drive. You know, listener support is the single largest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. We hope you rely on us. You can give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thanks very much. Well, after its grand opening last Saturday, the Pablo Center now begins hosting events of many varieties and sizes, one of which is the subject of Jim Oliver's report this week.
Fun Home is a musical adapted by Lisa Cron and Janine Tesori from Alison Bechdel's 2006 graphic memoir of the same name. It is the first Broadway musical with a lesbian protagonist. The musical opened off Broadway in September of 2013. Its run was extended several times until January of 2014. Fun Home was nominated for 9 Lucille Ortel Awards, winning 3, including Outstanding Musical, 2 Obie Awards, and 8 Drama Desk Awards. The Chippewa Valley Theater Guild will stage Fun Home October 4th to the 7th in the Jamp Theater in the Pablo Center at the Confluence in Eau Claire. In the studio to talk about the Theater Guild production is the director, Keith Lorish. Welcome back to Spectrum West.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, you've been here quite often, and usually this being a musical, more times than not, you were also the musical director. And my first question popped in my head, is he directing the musical too?
Yeah, and I am musical director for this also.
Okay. So do you have a choreographer or anybody else to help you with this?
Oh, yeah. I have Meg Azella is doing the choreography for it, and Matt Krushka, the band director at Altoona High School, is doing the pit.
Uh-huh. So why was this play selected?
It was selected for a lot of reasons. Because the Jam Theater, because the Confluence Center is new, and I was lucky enough to be on the play reading committee to help choose this, mm-hmm. It was very much a goal of the committee to pick something new.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that we were choosing things or going over scripts, we really didn't know exactly what to expect as far as the setup of the theater. So that added an interesting dynamic to what was going to be chosen for it. We originally had wanted the play to be done in the Jamp Theater in April, so it would be the spring show.
Mm-hmm.
But the rights weren't available at that time because a touring company was going to be starting up. And then so Ann Sessions, the executive director for the Theater Guild, went back to the licensing agent and said, well, what about October? And they said, okay. So we kind of fell into that time slot, and it's turning out to be a great time slot for a great show.
Mm-hmm. Just for the sake of discussion, is this play suitable for all ages, or would you suggest some limitations?
I think I would leave that up to the parents. Mm-hmm. For it. We have a 6-year-old in the cast,
mm-hmm.
Whose parents are being very supportive. The protagonist, or one of the protagonists, there's actually three Allisons that play Alison Bechdel at different ages, and the youngest one is 11.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it would require some discussion with parents amongst the kids mm-hmm. or for their kids, but I think because it's not just a show that has to do with lesbianism or a show that is just LGBT-oriented, but it's there is comedy that's in it. There's a great score there. It focuses on the relationship between more, I think, between a child and the parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you go on and tell us a little bit more about the play without giving away a lot of it?
Okay. Well, of course, I don't want to give away a lot of it because I want people to come and see it. It takes place in the 70s when Alison Bechdel was young, and the, for lack of a better word, narrator for the story is the older Allison, who says at that point in time that she's 43. And she tells her story of coming out and her life in college, her life growing up, and her life as an adult. And those things are being acted out. And so we see flashbacks of her when she's 12. And we see flashbacks of her in college and how the relationship between her and her parents changes in those time frames.
Mm-hmm. Who are the principal actors in the show?
Well, with a cast of only 9, I like to tell them that everybody is a lead at that at that spot. You know, it's tough because you have to have 9 people who can carry the weight of the show. There's mm-hmm. no chorus to fall into.
Mm-hmm.
But the 3 Allisons, the young Allison is played by Charlotte Schaller. The middle Allison is played by Molly Wilson. And the elder, she's just named Allison in the script, is played by Susie Drager. Her parents are played by Kobe Shaw, who's done a considerable amount of theater work in the area, both at Fannie Hill and the Theater Guild, and Joel Breed is playing the father. And he hasn't done a show for over 2 years. And when I had talked to him about it at one point, he said he was waiting for something like this to come along mm-hmm. because of the challenges that it provides.
Mm-hmm. We are talking to Keith Loresh, director of the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild production of Fun Home. This is a musical.
Yes.
So is there music we would recognize, or is this something new that we would come out?
Well, the cast album came out. The show was actually, to continue on with your introduction into the show, it did transfer to Broadway and ran for about 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It won the Tony Award for Best Musical in 2015. There's probably, honestly, songs that are not familiar to a lot of people. That shouldn't discourage people to not come, because the score is so strong. Those people that I mentioned, the three Allisons and the parents, each have stunning numbers, and they're being performed stunningly. And if you didn't know the songs before you came into the theater, you'll definitely want to know the songs as you're leaving, because there's not a weak moment in the show.
Mm-hmm. Some time ago, I interviewed you, I think, for a show called Urinetown, and one of the things that you talked about, when I was asked about the set, mm-hmm. and you talked about it was a minimalist set, and it seems like minimalism is becoming more popular around the region, not just locally, and so what kind of a set do you have?
Well, it's minimalist for a couple reasons, is that with having the three Allisons being different ages, you have scenes going from her as an adult to the 12-year-old, and sometimes even with the adult Allison speaking to her father as if she's the college age. And so we have just suggestions of a car vehicle, of a restaurant. Mm-hmm. The thing that stays constant is the home. Mm-hmm. So that never moves, because a lot of action takes place there.
Mm-hmm. You are the musical director, as we indicated before. Is there a pit orchestra, or
there is a pit, and just as the cast is somewhat minimalistic in being nine, the pit is relatively small also in being seven, and we have a lot of experienced people that are playing in the pit. Mm-hmm. This was a show that when people found out that it was being done, and I was contacted about it, a lot of people were asking questions, and including pit people that wanted to play for it. It has that type of following, even for its young age, for a show.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about other technical stuff? Lights, the pit orchestra director. Do you direct the pit orchestra?
No, Matt Krushka from Altoona is conducting.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Yes. But lighting design, sound, and all of that stuff, is there somebody who handles that?
Yes, we have several people that are working on that, and it's kind of exciting because it's at the Jamp Theater, where we've not been before. We are the premier community theater production, not only in the Jamp Theater, but for the Pablo Center.
Mm-hmm. Well, the play is the musical Fun Home. Chippewa Valley Theater Guild will stage Fun Home next Thursday through Sunday in the Jamp Theater, in the Pablo Center, in the Confluence in Eau Claire. We've been talking to the director, Keith Lorish. Thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thanks, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, don't go away, Mr. Oliver. Have a question for you. What's on stage in Western Wisconsin?
Tomi DiPiola's Strega Nona will be performed by the Phipps Children's Theater October 5th to the 14th at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. Pinkalicious will be staged by the Eau Claire Children's Theater Friday and Saturday, and October 5th and 6th at the Oxford Theater. The St. Croix Off-Broadway Dinner Theater is staging same time next year, Fridays and Saturdays through October 27th. Little Women, a play based on the novel by Louisa May Alcott, will play Saturday and Sunday in the Franklin Square Black Box Theater in St. Croix Falls. The Festival Theater production will continue through October 27th. The Old Gem Theater of New Richmond is staging Johnny Appleseed for student audiences through October 19th. The Chippewa Valley Theater Guild will present the musical Fun Home October 4th to the 7th in the Jamp Theater in the Pablo Center at the Confluence. Auditions for the Phipps Children's Theater production of Bah Humbug, Scrooge's Christmas Carol, will be held on Sunday, October 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. and Monday, October 8th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. And the Menominee Theater Guild has scheduled auditions for A Christmas Carol for 6 p.m. Monday and Tuesday. For Spectrum West, I'm Jim Oliver.
Thank you so much, sir. Support for WPR comes from the Chippewa Valley Symphony with a fall gala to kick off the concert season, including food, games, and auctions Thursday, October 4th at the Lismore. Tickets at cvsogala.com. Support also comes from Art Z Gallery in Amory. September features Metamorphosis, Nancy Vibrock's mixed media painting, Dan Flory's wood-turned bowls, and Patricia Hamm's artistic innovation group, artzgallery.org. We're in our fall membership drive here at WPR. Listener support is the single largest source of funding. That's important, especially right now. Make your impact on WPR programs with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I've heard of once in a lullaby.
Saturday evenings are filled with excitement in our big wide valley. On October 6th, you can hear one of America's premier a cappella groups, five young New Yorkers who call themselves Backtrack. They're on an extensive tour taking them from sea to shining sea, and in addition to other Wisconsin stops for concerts and school workshops, they're hitting the stage at the Heidi Center in about a week. I caught them at their Marshfield Hotel a couple days ago. Ladies and gentlemen, meet, if you would please, singers Melissa, Mike, Mallory, and JoJo, and their rhythm section, who goes by the name of Johnny. Melissa Giordano chimed in with how the tour shapes up currently.
We have done two shows in Wisconsin. We have four more, but between the first two and the last two, we're going out to Ohio, Illinois, and Michigan.
You know, and just by the way you said Wisconsin? I know you're not from Wisconsin. So, is there an original member here?
No. No.
You can't tell me about the name of the group.
Can.
Who's so going to?
I will. My name's Mallory. I'm actually the oldest member of the group. So I replaced this original soprano, Kara, and the name was actually, so it's a sort of a dual meaning, Backtrack meaning, you know, a backing track. We don't need that as an a cappella group. But also the word back, the first four letters of the first four original members' names spell out the word back. So Brett, Andrew, Carly with a C, Kara with a K. But none of those people are here, so.
Have you tried to put a name together that has your names in it?
It would just be like or mm-hmm. But it's all M's and J's.
Yep.
So no vowels.
Which has a beatbox, that's right up your alley.
I mean, exactly. I think I can make it work, but it might be hard trying to like, hey, did you hear the new
How long has the group been together?
So Backtrack has actually been a group for 5 years, but when it first started, it was just an online group producing YouTube videos. Yeah. We've only been performing live as a group for about 2.5 years, and this lineup for about a couple of months at this point. JoJo is our newest member. He joined us in June.
So as I said in the lobby, I've watched a lot of videos, and in a short time of just me watching videos, I've seen attrition. I've seen things change. So there is turnover. What's the biggest challenge of being young and talented and in a group like this? How do you guys perceive this gig? It must be kind of a stepping stone because people are moving on.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges is that we are almost entirely self-run. So we've had to teach ourselves a lot of skills, from the video work to arranging to, you know, all the administrative stuff as well. So all those difficult things that we never imagined we'd have to do as singers come into play when you're running your own business, essentially.
But I'm thinking about how young people move on. Is that always in the back of your mind? You always have your eyes open for something, and this is just, like I said, a stepping stone, a temporary thing?
Well, I would say that so far with Backtrack, as the goals of the group have changed, the members of the group have changed. So pretty much as we do move on to bigger and better things, for better or for worse, a member comes or goes.
I've seen a lot. For me, you know, I come from a theater background. I was auditioning in New York City for primarily theater, some TV, film. I actually left Backtrack back when we weren't even performing yet to do a program. So when we were not performing yet, Backtrack was that. It was a side gig that was a fun opportunity for me to be singing. But once we all said, let's really try to do this, you know, it took a while. It took maybe about 6 months for me to really be all in. You know, I was sort of like, well, I want to keep my foot in the theater door. But I think now having the hindsight, you know, I think that the success that we've had and the fact that we can now say we are full-time is for the reason of the commitment of the members and saying that this is, I think when someone leaves, it's because they realize that they can't put 100% into what we're doing, because that's really the only reason it works, is that everything else comes second for us. We consider each stage of the group a stepping stone as a unit.
So Johnny, now you, and you guys all have your own kind of individual successes, but then you came together, and you and your genre were doing pretty well doing what you do, and then suddenly this gig came along.
Yes, that's true, but also, I'm not true in a way. So I actually, I started beatboxing about 6.5 years ago, and I originally went to college for classical guitar, but I met a friend of mine who was a competitive beatboxer. He taught me, and I became obsessed, and very spontaneously moved to New York City 2 weeks after graduating because we started a band together. Spent 5 years in New York learning how to beatbox and being part of this incredible beatboxing competitive scene, and I have some of my best friends in the city are amazing beatboxers, but I spent that whole time working in restaurants as a barback and then as a server in Times Square. Not as glamorous as you might think. And even ended up doing retail for a little bit, and getting the opportunity to join this group and make my living was just like a dream. Never in a million years did I think that I would make weird noises with my face and like that would be my career.
Jojo, you're the new guy.
Yes.
How tough is it to jump into a group of people who have been swimming around for a while?
Yeah, I mean, so Backtrack was sort of my, out of college, my first full-time singing experience. It was a bit, I think, a bit more difficult than I was expecting just to acclimate myself to, you know, all the different music and all the different stage elements that we have. There's definitely a learning period that I had to get out of. But yeah, I'm glad I'm here.
I can tell you're the bass guy, too, by the way, by the voice. You other guys, talk about the technical aspects of welcoming a new member. What does it take? You have to rework a bunch of stuff. What goes on?
Yeah, there are a lot of steps to taking a new member. Jojo has a lower range than our previous bass, so a lot of the songs we adapted, so Jojo would sing down the octave, or you know, we could adjust the key or something. We made it work, and we've had enough member changes that I think we kind of know the drill and know what we need to do.
Do you listen to a cappella? Do you have to be a fan of it to say this is what I aspire to be, or we're better than that, or what do you say?
No, I would say that we definitely listen to a lot of groups in the car. We take a lot of long car rides, and we explore kind of the Spotify world of a cappella. But honestly, we do spend our time not listening to a cappella when we can, because we spend a lot of time performing it.
The way I wrote it here is a cappella is to singing what organic is to eating. It's pure and real and out there, nothing added. It's kind of like five solos happening all at the same time. Does it kind of feel that way while you're doing it?
We work best as a group when we're mindful of what each other are doing. For instance, like, Johnny and I can both make interesting effects with our voices. Obviously, he can do a lot more because that's his job. But, like, sometimes I will add in bass guitar slides or, like, fall-offs, like bass drops happen in EDM. And he can also do those. So we have to be mindful of when I'm going to do them versus when he's going to do them. And we always look at each other so we know sort of who's making effects. And I think it goes the same thing with the three of them. If one of them's taking a solo line, the other two are mindful not to try and overpower it. And if they're all singing in harmony and it's supposed to be equal, then they all look out for each other and try and balance to each other. So although we are performing separately, it becomes more of a unit when we work together.
I'm always constantly listening to the bass line to make sure that our groove is locking, but also listening to the soloist. So to make sure that tempo is also matching, and I kind of try to glue everyone together speed-wise to make sure that the harmonies and the melody and the bass line are all moving at the same speed. And sometimes we get excited and want to perform a little faster, and sometimes I'm guilty of that, so someone will give me a look like, hey man, slow it down. But also, I didn't even talk to any of you about this today. I did something interesting where we performed at this school and they started clapping along, but sometimes the claps in the audience will start to go faster.
They were rushing.
And I decided to, I don't know if y'all noticed, but I decided to match what they were doing, so I sped up a lot.
Yes.
Normally I just keep it rock steady and just like let them do their clapping, but today I decided to have a little fun and decided to match their claps.
They were into it, yeah.
So that's one thing I wanted to talk about, young people, kids, I'm thinking about them. We all have voices, but we can have two voices. Singing is the other one. I've always thought singing is natural and that it's good for you. It's like shouting when you need to let off steam. Tell me about your relationship with singing. start as a kid? Did you run around the house singing all the time?
Growing up, I was always listening to music. My mom was playing music. She would wake us up by playing the piano every morning. So it definitely came from a musical household. I auditioned for my high school's a cappella choir, and I got into that. My love for music came mostly when I joined a contemporary a cappella group in college at Johns Hopkins University. That was my first time singing pop music that is similar to what Backtrack does. So that's where my love of a cappella was formed.
That's Melissa.
My relationship with music, I think, began as a kid. I remember sitting my entire family down at Christmas dinner and putting on the Aladdin movie, but being like, no, but you're going to watch me as I perform this entire movie for you. And beyond that, my parents kind of saw that theater bug in me young, put me in local plays and, you know, community theater. I kind of learned to sing there, went to an arts school, and followed my dream from there, and I ended up at NYU studying drama. You know, it was a lot of hard work, and I'm very, very lucky to have found Backtrack. They kind of brought music back into my life.
That's Mike, by the way.
Yes.
All right, Mallory's turn.
I grew up in a musical home as well. My grandparents on my mom's side met performing. They were big band singers in the 40s, and yeah, my dad's mother was a concert-level pianist and taught, and so similar to Mike, my sister, I have a younger sister, and she also sings, and yeah, we would have nights where we would write our own musicals or, you know, make the parents sit down and watch us do something. And so quickly got into theater. And so I did the musicals all throughout high school, went to college, studied theater at Northwestern, was in an a cappella group there. I love theater and I love doing a musical, but I also always loved pop singing and I loved just the singing and the music aspect of it. And I feel like we get to tell a different story with our shows. It's a different muscle that I get to use, and it's constantly challenging and rewarding for me.
So yeah, I started playing guitar before high school. Neither of my parents are very musical. Went to college for classical guitar and sound recording. Started beatboxing the last half of my senior year of college. Moved to New York on a whim. Got a shout out my parents for being supportive through this whole time, because I was kind of a crazy person, looking back on it, to make these big life decisions on the things that I did. After kind of pursuing it for a while, Backtrack gave me the opportunity to do it, and the fact that it is just like something that I want to use to spread and pay forward. And we do a lot of performances at schools. I mean, when I was in middle school or high school, I never saw a group like this come, and it's kind of a mind-blowing thing, and I want to use it as an example to like inspire kids to follow whatever it is they want to do, because it'll work. You'll make it work if you love it and you work hard. It'll happen for you.
Jojo, were you one day talking like this, and then next morning you woke up and you were way down here?
Yeah, so that's really almost how it happened. I remember very distinctly being 14 years old. I remember going to the dentist. For whatever reason, I looked like a child, and our dentist was this very large man, and he walked in, and I started talking to him. I remember him being like, how does your voice sound like that? Like, how old are you? But yeah, so that was when I realized that I had a deep voice. And in terms of how I got involved with singing, I have two older brothers and one younger sister, and my oldest brother decided to play the viola, and then my other brother decided to play the cello. So my parents were like, wow, it would be really cool if we had a string quartet. So they forced me and my sister to play violin. At the time, I was really upset about it because I wanted to play saxophone, but I picked up the violin and eventually ended up doing a bunch of orchestra things in high school and played in a bunch of musicals. And I was playing in my high school musical, Anything Goes, I believe. The pit director was the choir director. And one day she was just like, you have a really low voice. You have to try singing. Okay. My senior year of high school, finally joined choir. And that's when I was introduced to a cappella. And I saw Pentatonics and Home Free. And then I went to college, and all of a sudden I was singing with my college a cappella group. And through that, I've been able to meet so many cool people. Because of the connections I made there, I was able to audition for a few things, and Backtrack has been my first full-time gig as a singer, and it's been an honor to be in it.
In some of the videos I watched, you guys, and I think the one was filmed at the beginning of this year, you talked about new stuff, new album, a new oldies album you mentioned. How's all that going?
The oldies album is recorded. We are selling it on this tour, so Wisconsinites, if you are in the area and want a Backtrack oldies album, we'll see you at one of these next four stops. And it's hits from the 60s and 70s. It's artists that you know and love, the Beatles.
We've got Stevie Wonder. We have the Temptations. We've got some disco in there.
Jackson 5. We do it all.
Thanks a lot, you guys. I appreciate spending time with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
They're called Backtrack, and here's a quick listen to some of the new oldies album.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. Yes, I do now.
I want you back.
Under the boardwalk, down by the sea.
Yeah. We can try to understand the New York Times effect on men. Whether you're a brother or a thing or a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. In the city, breaking it, everybody shaking and we're staying alive.
They're called Backtrack. They're in Schofield, Rhinelander, and Monroe now and this weekend. Then down to Ohio, up to Sault Ste. Marie, then Three Lakes, Wisconsin, and they hit the Heidi Center Saturday evening, October 6th, 7:30 p.m. CVCA.net is that website. To hear and see more about that group, go online to backtrackvocals.com. Here's a Spectrum memo. Don't forget, the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra presents their big season opener, A New Era, Saturday evening. The 6:45 p.m. pre-concert talk by WPR's Norman Gilliland will be in the Clearwater Room at the Pablo Center. The concert will feature James Anderson playing the Koussevitzky Bass Concerto, a reprise of Chiyu Tzu's Confluence Landscapes, or Turin as it was originally named, and Beethoven's Eighth Symphony. Your chance to see a wonderful concert performed by consummate musicians. Hey, thanks, Rachel, Kate, and Dean. They're behind the scenes, and it makes getting in front of the microphone so easy. Next week, some fall art tours, a new book on the way. We'll see how a conductor likes the new digs and more. I'm Al Ross for Jim Oliver. Bye now.